Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to eighth time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Hope you had a great weekend. You're at the rodeo. I hope you were there for an entire concert. That was, yeah.
Why would that be in doubt, Sean?
Because on Friday, there was not an entire concert. There was a Journey 4.5 song concert.
Yeah. Oh, it's only 4.5 songs?
Oh, yeah.
I thought maybe you got at least a good hour out of it or
something.
No.
4.5 songs. And now we got the whole rodeo, which was good. I like the rodeo. I'd been to one other rodeo sesh this season. This was my second one. So I love the rodeo. I love
what
everything.
What were the
about
events
it
that evening?
The usual, you know, the bull ride. Like, I think it's the same every night.
Is
I'm pretty
sure.
Is it
the same sure every night?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It was the same the two nights I went, like the sequence and everything. So, yeah, they had it all. But, yeah, man, Journey, 4.5 songs. And I can name them all. They opened with Teenage Wasteland by The Who. They covered The Who to open the concert, which has one of the coolest, like, intro riffs to a song ever. You know, that... then they played Only the Young. They played Be Good to Yourself. They played Stone in Love. And then came Don't Stop Believing, which was the only song I like Journey a lot, but that was my one must-see song because I like the song. And it's got cultural significance with the end of The Sopranos and everything else. And so I was happy that one popped up when it did because I'm like, okay, good. I can leave early if I want to and beat the traffic, you know, that kind of thing. Because the traffic is bad at the rodeo.
That's a hardcore Journey fan right there. Yes.
Yes. So I never said I was hardcore. Just I wanted to see Don't Stop Believing.
I know.
So the song plays. And then in the middle of like the second verse, all of a sudden everything goes out. The stage, the lights, the music, everything goes out. Crowd keeps singing, though. You know, like the crowd knows the words.
Yeah. At that point, are you thinking maybe this is part of the show?
I'm thinking that, maybe
like,
it's...
Oh, okay, we're going to let the crowd take over and just have this experience?
Yes. Because okay. Well, who would think that the stage would just go kaput, right?
Right.
So I thought two things. I thought, one, maybe they're doing this like this is such an iconic song. Let's let them sing part of it.
Yeah.
A weird time to do that in the middle of the second verse, granted.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
But I was still holding out hope.
Yeah.
And then I thought in my mind, I'm like, okay, maybe this is a weird homage to the, spoiler alert, to the end of The Sopranos, where Don't Stop Believing is playing, and then where the world thought the power went out.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was neither of those things. It turns out it was, It was an electrical fire that had been brewing for quite some time next to the drummer of Journey.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he know that it was going on?
Yes.
Was he knew there was a budding problem?
There was something going on, yeah.
That's gotta be stressful as hell. Yeah. You're trying to keep rhythm with the beat that is playing in your ear.
Yeah.
But you know, they got a metronome thing going these days. But still, you can there's a distinct smell to an electrical fire.
Yes.
So good for them for soldiering on until the fires almost subsumed them.
Until they stopped believing, so to speak. Yes. So,
spoiler alert. I didn't know for sure if the concert was over or if they'd all been assassinated by a mob hit something. I wanted to go look at documentaries and everything about it to find out.
It took forever. For them to it took forever for them to explain what was going on. For a while, it was just not chaos, but you know, there's a murmur going on. Some people are starting to leave, and eventually, the voice of God comes on and says, "Hey, we're working on it." Something to that effect. Did that twice, and then eventually, the third time was the charm or the opposite of it. Now, my take on it was, I think. Met with a little bit of consternation. I immediately shot a video walking out of the place.
Yeah.
About a 1 minute video. And my take on it was basically that, hey, people are going to be talking about this thing for years. When the rodeo rolls around, you know, they won't be talking about it in August or anything like that. But anytime the rodeo rolls around, they will talk about the night that Journey had their set cut short because of the fire. Be glad that you were here for it. Be glad
kinda
you were
like
here.
The Ravens Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Yeah. I was there for that too. That's the only Super Bowl. Yes, that was the only Super Bowl game I've ever attended. Was the one in New Orleans, and it gets brought up all the time. Yeah,
Sean. I'll tell you, if this was the 1970s and there were Time Life book series being put about mysteries of the unknown.
Yep.
I think you would be a prime candidate for. In danger of spontaneous combustion. Kids, this used to be a big thing.
Yeah.
This used to be a huge thing. And we were all terrified of it. Everybody will tell you about, quicksand. That was the thing back in the day. All the cartoons and sitcoms had an episode where somebody got caught in quicksand. Very, very underrated and I think forgotten because people are in denial about it. The danger of spontaneously combusting.
Yeah.
Supposedly, people would just be walking around, and then all of a sudden, poof!
They disappear.
There was just a black spot on the carpet.
Like dandelion spores.
And I think, you're one of the common themes here now.
Of these
you're
two
walking
events.
Around, you're a walking electrical storm.
That's exactly right. The other thing I thought of, Seth, because of how The Sopranos ended, if you think, it is kind of eerie that there are, I don't know, there's 20 concerts at the rodeo, right? There's 20 dates. So there's 20 musical acts. They each play, conservatively, 10 songs. It's shorter than a normal concert. It's usually like an hour long, maybe an hour and 15. So call it 10 songs. So there's 200 songs played at the rodeo every year. That the one where the power went out was Journey, Don't Stop Believing, is a little eerie to me.
It feels a little bit like an inside job of some sort.
You think?
Yeah.
Man.
I'm not one to, you know, delve into conspiracy theories or anything, but this definitely happened. This was definitely somebody, kind of like the guy in Forrest Gump that pulled the plug on the speech.
Yes.
There was somebody down there, a diehard Sopranos fan that was like, I'm going to do it.
You think they, instead of just pulling the plug on it, they decided to light an electrical fire?
Started an electrical fire. Yeah, in the spirit of the
Sopranos. They're not afraid to burn a place out.
Yeah, you got it right. It's arson.
Yes.
It's an arson job.
Good call, Seth. Good call. Yeah.
I don't think there's any other way to think about this. The other thing about Journey that I always feel bad and depressed in watching them is that the lead singer, is it Amel or Amel? How do you pronounce it?
I don't know. I don't even know his
name. Amel Pineda. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You don't know his name.
I pronounce
he's
it.
He's awesome.
I pronounce it Filipino Steve Perry. That's how I
he's
pronounce
awesome.
It.
He's awesome. So it's probably Amel Pineda.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been the lead singer of Journey for almost 20 years. And yet nobody knows his name or very few people know his name compared to Steve Perry.
Yes.
He's widely known as the guy who sounds like Steve Perry.
And yet
whereas Van Halen, you've got very two distinct eras. Mm-hmm. You got Van Hagar, you got David Lee Roth. And I feel bad. I feel bad for Pineda. For his biggest crime is having a voice that is just as incredible as Steve Perry.
They found him on YouTube. Yeah. Like, the band had gone dark for a while, and they found him on YouTube, and they're like, let's get the band back together, minus Steve Perry. Let's get this guy off of YouTube, this Pineda guy. And he sounds exactly like him. He sounds exactly like Steve Perry.
Yeah, like, Sammy Hagar sounds nothing like David
Very
Lee
distinct,
Roth.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So, text message, Jim Adler text line, spontaneous combustion is real, you a-holes. That's good. Keep that spirit alive.
Spontaneous combustion, that's just what the arsonists want you to believe, yeah. Okay? That's just what whoever started the electrical fire at the Journey concert is like, yes, yes, okay, yes. Keep the spontaneous combustion stuff
keep it
rolling.
Going.
It's a thing, yeah.
Keep it going.
That's been my cover for low these past 40 years.
Should I have been mad? A lot of people were telling me, Sean, you should be mad about this. You should want to...
I guess a lot of people are really, really furious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, if it was indeed arson, then they should be furious. If it was just one of those things that's happened,
act of God.
It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an act of God, you know?
Yep.
Who are you angry at? Always identify who are you angry at.
Right.
And can you exact either... recompense
mm-hmm.
or revenge.
Thank you.
So just quit grousing about it and do something instead
exactly.
of whining.
Exactly.
That, take that from a sports radio host. Why would you be angry about something that actually materially affected you?
Right.
When you could be getting angry about the Cleveland Browns.
Our whole show is anger and whining. Stop being angry and stop your whining. All right.
Yeah, if I have good to, dose of spontaneous if, combustion
if,
talk.
If we have to stop this car, all right? If we have to stop this car.
Stop whining and get to whining about Mekhi Becton signing with the Chargers.
Yeah, you were a Mekhi Becton guy. How did
I was
you feel?
I was a fan of any guy who could be an impact player on the interior offensive line.
We're still kind
of
waiting, huh?
Well, yeah, and even Kevin Zeitler, who signed with the Titans, was a guy that I talked about a lot. And he went to the Titans on a pretty manageable deal. It was 1 year, $9 million. So far the Texans have they've signed a couple of, I'd say one, a stopgap or a veteran guy who can start for you in Laken Tomlinson.
Yep.
And then they've signed a better version of Kenyon Green in Ed Ingram, a guy that can play, he plays right guard instead of left guard. Mm-hmm. But he's been a starter, but he got benched in the middle of last season. He just hasn't developed and really fulfilled his upside. But there's something intriguing there. I feel like they've just kind of swapped out for more physically durable versions of Shaq Mason and Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
All of these signs to me point to the Texans heavily going after offensive line in the draft.
Yeah.
I think that you want to go into the draft just not being in a panic period over any one of the positions, but feeling like, okay, we need to upgrade. And if you really want to get the most out of CJ Stroud, let's get some potential impact players in the draft. Or perhaps there's a trade out there before or after the draft. They're probably thinking about a few potential trade targets.
Yeah, it feels like in the short term, they're like, all right, if we get some veteran guys, we can kind of plug in here and draft some young guys. Like, we know we can be better than we were last year, even without Laremy Tunsil. Maybe not materially, like, significantly better, but good enough to be a competent offense. And then I feel like the long-term play to completely reset the culture in the room is the draft. Like, right. I feel like the guys they're going to draft, like, the same evaluation process that led to them bringing in guys like Jalen Petrie, Will Anderson, Derek Stingley, guys who just love football, is the same filter they're going to be using to draft at least a couple of offensive linemen.
I think the thing that I feel good about with Laken Tomlinson and Ed Ingram, in terms of just, all right, what can they do better or differently than last year?
Mm-hmm.
I think both of them have an attention to detail in the run game that last year's offensive line didn't have.
Yeah.
The other big thing is that they've both been very durable. That Laken Tomlinson especially just very rarely misses time or games. And yes, he's getting up there in years, but I think they want consistency as much as possible. Yeah, let's start with the baseline of fundamentals and consistency and then build from there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of last year, it was, hey, we're going to be the greatest show under an occasionally retracting dome. Let's be competent first and then build on that.
Yep. All right, we're off and running. Okay, so I think I'm glad you brought up the offensive line, because I think this is a huge bet on one person. And there was some audio out this weekend that made me feel better about said person. We've got that. We've got two huge deals in the NFL that went down over the weekend that make me feel good about something with the Texans as well. We'll get to all of that as we're off and running on a Monday here on Payne and Pendergast.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, we got a lot of headlines coming up from the weekend in the next segment. Congrats to the Cougs. They're a one seed. Good job. Rockets won a couple games. We'll get to all that. We were just talking about the offensive line in the previous segment and kind of the activity thus far. There's not anything that's happened with the Texans. The more inspiring stuff that's happened for the Texans on the offensive line have been what they've shipped out as opposed to what they've brought in. The Texan fans, by and large, are all in favor of the teardown. It's the build back up that we're kind of waiting for here. This was floating around on the internet yesterday. This was a cut from the Dan and Ninko podcast. I know that Ninko is Rob Ninkovich. I'm not sure who Dan is, admittedly. Rob Ninkovich.
Dan looks like a buddy.
Yeah.
I don't. He looks like a buddy, not necessarily a former NFL player.
But yeah.
So Rob Ninkovich, who was with the Patriots back when Cole Popovich, the Texans offensive line coach, was an offensive line coach with the Patriots.
Yep.
And I feel like we need to do a disclaimer before we play this.
Okay.
We don't care what anybody's COVID views is, and I couldn't be more adamant about that. I don't give a single damn about the COVID portion of the clip we're about to play. I care about the Rob Ninkovich's appraisal of Cole Popovich as an offensive
line.
That's
a good job with the disclaimer, because everybody's ears just perked up twice as much as they're already perked.
I don't care how you feel about Cole Popovich and how he handled COVID or anything else like that.
Yeah.
I don't care about your vaccine takes, for whatever. We are not talking about that portion of this. Try without getting triggered to pay attention to Rob Ninkovich's appraisal of Cole Popovich as an offensive line coach.
The coach, here we go.
They had a really good coach. They had a great coach in Cole Popovich, who they wouldn't bring back because he didn't get a COVID shot. So they would have had a great coach.
And he was with Scarnecchia for a long time.
Nobody's
talking
about that. The radio doesn't talk about that. Nobody says.
Radio don't talk about a lot of stuff.
We had a great coach here, but we mandated everyone get a COVID shot, so he personally didn't feel comfortable with it, so we fired him.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, we've talked about it. Listen. Ninkovich's little sidekick there. We've brought it up multiple times that he had this year where he coached high school.
We ain't scared.
We're not making a big federal case out of it or anything.
Talk about his one year at Franklin High School in Franklin, Massachusetts. Yeah.
It was what it was. Some people didn't want to get back. Some people did, et cetera, et cetera. That's not our purview. That's something, if you want to debate about that, I think you can find a place on the internet or on cable television to
take
in
outside, what
you need.
You'll be fine.
But as far as I do like that Ninkovich is riled up because for whatever reason, reason at all, that Cole Popovich wasn't as a good offensive line coach wasn't available to the Patriots.
That's right.
I like that.
Hey Ben, cue that up again and hit play, and I'll stop you when I need. This is all the only part you need to know. Is this?
They had a really good coach. They had a great coach in Cole Popovich.
Boom!
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. All you need to know, people. They had a really good coach. They had a great coach in Cole Popovich. Yeah.
I can't remember who it was. Because I want to say it was somebody that would have been more leaning politically to the left. who was talking about football and was basically saying, your O-line coach, you want him to be an anti-vaxxer. Like, that's the perfect O-line coach.
Yeah.
You want him to be just a crusty old dude that's set in his ways, and he's going to, damn it, it's going to be this way, and whatever it is, They made it better that it was somebody that I think, if I remember correctly, was probably left-leaning.
Yes.
We are apolitical when it comes out. Just give me a crusty, cranky bastard that will accept nothing less than what he demands.
Crusty, cranky Cole Popovich at age 40.
I wish it'd be better if he were 67.
Yes, he turned 40 in February. Yeah. Independent of all the gaga that went on for the last 28 seconds of that 33-second clip, I was glad to hear a ringing endorsement for Cole Popovich from somebody who was in the building with him.
No, and I get it. And people raise eyebrows when they find out or think about logically, okay, you're going to fix the O-line and you're going to do things differently on offense, and yet you retained most of your assistant coaches, including the guy who was the assistant offensive line coach last year. I did myself as well. This is where the little bit of the leap of faith comes. If you want to feel positive about it, if you want to lean into the negativity, there's plenty of reasons to do that because Cole Popovich was in that room last year. It's just that there's many, many, many times where young coaches, especially assistant position coaches, really don't have much authority to do much at all. They're trying to do what their boss is telling them, and that boss is trying to do what his boss is trying to tell them to do. And there's only so much you can do. You can work with guys individually, but sometimes just the scheme is what the scheme is and everything else. So Cole Popovich had a chance to leave for another job a couple off seasons ago, and he chose to stay with the Texans. That was something that I didn't know until D'Amico had divulged it during the combine. That I think, for one, he knew that Chris Strausser was considering retirement going into 2024. So I think Popovich liked D'Amico, I'm guessing, and saw a future here, so he wanted to stay here. So it's not like it's a guy that was just the guy who was around. He's had experience working with Nick Caley, and there's a good chance that he's an upgrade. Yeah. So we'll see. It's just we don't know until we see it in action. We don't know about Nick Caley until we see it in action.
Yeah. I'm excited. Like, when camp rolls around, man, I wish they didn't do all those offensive line drills off where we can't see stuff going on. You know what I mean? I'd kind of
bring binoculars this year.
But I want to hear Cole Popovich. I want to see what his coaching style's like. You know what I mean? I kind of want to see.
He's crusty.
Yeah, I do want to see. I want to see the crust factor on him. Yes.
Yeah.
Be a little sad about that. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. I'll be surprised if Nick is risking going into the season with this O-line and the draft as the answer. And then the texter says Nick has not been good at drafting O-linemen. You kind of debunked that a little bit. I mean, it obviously hasn't been great. And the biggest one that sticks out like a sore thumb is Kenyon Green. At least he got something for him. Got C.J. Gardner-Johnson for him. But that pick didn't work out as you had hoped. I think the jury's still out on Juice Scruggs. I think the jury's very much out on Blake Fisher. And I think Jared Patterson as a 6th-round pick has been a success story.
Yeah, I think there's only got there, he's only drafted 3 guys in the upper rounds. Mm-hmm. You've got Kenyon Green, you've got Juice Scruggs, who is a 2nd-rounder, and then you've got Blake Fisher. You know, Ladarius Henderson was a 7th-rounder. Yeah. Jared Patterson was a 6th-rounder. So if Jared Patterson works out at all, by 6th-round pick standards, that's really, really good.
Yes.
So you got about a 10% hit rate on 6th-rounders. So Jared Patterson would be a bonus. Really, it's Kenyon Green that is the biggest mark against him, but he just hasn't drafted that many offensive linemen. I think it's more fair to say that Nick hasn't done a good job of building out the offensive line in general. Mm-hmm. Whether you're looking at free agency, trade, or draft picks, that's a point of concern.
Yeah.
So the drafting I'm not as worried about. It was just they whiffed on Kenyon Green, especially by virtue of the fact of trading down 3 spots and then two much better NFL players going ahead of Kenyon
Green. Do you agree with this texter that you think there's another move coming that matters along the offensive line?
I think there's a good chance that there's a trade at some point, and we just don't know when that's going to be. One of the better moves that Caserio made was bringing George Fant in during training camp.
Yeah.
Because he ended up having to play a bunch as your swing tackle.
He's out there
and
right
he
now.
Played well. He went out and got a better contract. So I think there's more moves coming. I don't know if there's necessarily an eye-popping move.
Yeah.
I think there might be a George Fant type of
move.
You're
running out of people that would qualify as eye-popping at this point.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, the eye-popping move would be a trade.
It would be a trade.
Especially after the draft. If the Texans maybe have their eyes on taking an offensive lineman or two that they really like, and if they don't get one of them, then there's a chance that wherever that guy goes, there's a chance that that team's willing to trade away a veteran. So it's like classic Caserio. Sometime between now and September, there's going to be some trades.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yep.
We just it's impossible to predict exactly what it's going to be, especially with a trade of a veteran.
Yeah. One of the deals that Nick's made in the last year that's starting to look really good, he made this deal in May of last year, was signing Nico Collins to a 3-year, $72 million extension, $24 million a year. it's looking even better today after the Bengals extended both of their wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And man, are they paying through the nose for this. They are getting, the Bengals are getting screwed by the Myles Garrett trade in a way. Because they had promised Ja'Marr Chase at some point that they would make him the highest paid non-quarterback. And I guarantee you when they said that, they're like, all right, well, Justin Jefferson makes $35.5 million a year.
Yeah.
We're $35 million. We'll give him $35.5 million and we'll be fine. And then because the Bengals drag their feet on this thing and they're cheap, they wait around and their in-state rivals, the Cleveland Browns, go ahead and give Myles Garrett $40 million a year. And now, so now they're giving Ja'Marr Chase, you know, $40.25 million a year because he's got to be the highest paid. To me, the T. Higgins one is more eye-popping than Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase is more money, but you get it. Like, he's elite. T. Higgins at the same position getting nearly $30 million a year. So you've got $30 million and $40 million. You got $70 million wrapped up in two wide receivers plus Joe Burrow at $55
million. I am in this just for enjoying so much the immediate flip with zero self-awareness from people saying, oh, the Bengals are so cheap. They're so dumb. They're not going to pay these guys. Oh, they're so stupid. To immediately, without hesitation, I can't believe they're paying a quarterback and two wide receivers like this. That's no way to build a football team. Oh, you frauds. I include you in this, Sean.
Why?
I can't believe they're not paying these. Oh my God, I can't believe they paid these guys.
No. But that would be a more fair take if they weren't trying to, if they didn't give Trey Hendrickson permission to go seek a trade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that to me is the big thing here. Now, look, am I surprised that they're signing Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins to these huge deals? Yes. I would be lying if I said I'm not surprised by that. I thought for sure they'd franchise tag and then trade T. Higgins. They're not. But it's not as though, like, the plan Joe Burrow wanted was everybody to come back, including Trey Hendrickson, and he's not. It's almost like, Seth, it's like the Bengals are looking to build a house, and they just built a gigantic man cave, and that's their whole house. There's no kitchen, there's no bathrooms, there's no bedrooms. Look at this gigantic man cave I built, and people are like, where's the rest of the house? No, this is it.
What do you do with your insurance money?
Look at these movie screens that we have. Listen to this sound. Listen to this Joe Burrow sound system, and you turn it way up, and you're like, yeah, but I got to go to the bathroom. Well, you just go out here and you have to pee in the bushes out there. This is all we got. It's a huge man. The Bengals are going to be the most fun 8-9 team to watch next year in the league.
Just given everything and the way it went down last year where the defense was such a mess. Well, Joe Burrow is still
Trey
doing
Hendrickson.
Joe Burrow things. Right. So if they trade away Trey Hendrickson for a 6th-round pick or whatever, they trade him away for what was the Laramie Tunsil package? A 2nd and a 4th and a whatever comes back?
A 2nd, a 3rd, a 4th, and a 7th. Yeah. I think they'll get more for. I think they'll get a 1st-round pick for Trey Hendrickson from somebody. I'm very surprised that they signed both of these receivers to these huge deals.
I say good for you, Bengals. Yeah. It's a new era.
Yeah.
They've dabbled their toes in paying free agents and everything, and now they're paying their own.
Do you think
the sting of Carson Palmer remains? They're trying to flush that out.
They're going
to
be charging so much for Gatorade and socks to the players in the building over there now.
What if they do that? If they just immediately jack up the price, they've got a graduated price system where Ja'Marr Chase has to pay $10,000 for a Gatorade. Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So that's kind of what's been going on. That's the big story in the NFL this weekend was the Bengals signing those two wide receivers. We'll get to headlines, though. There were other headlines around the league and in baseball, too. Boy, this is getting exciting. A week from Thursday is opening day. Man, this could be happening. We'll see. We'll talk about that. We'll tell you what it is. I think you know in headlines coming up next.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with a quick Texans headline. This dropped over the weekend, courtesy of Aaron Wilson. Turns out the Texans did a restructure on DeNico Autry's contract. There'd been some discussion. He was probably the most debated player, Seth, I would say, as far as will they cut him? How will they handle him? Because there was a cap savings to be had if you cut DeNico Autry. And instead, they keep DeNico Autry around on a restructured deal and open up a few million in cap space, $6 to $7 million in cap space. I'm doing a check on the Texans' cap space right now as we speak. According to overthecap.com, they've got nearly $19 million in cap space. So they, you know, look, they need some space to sign their rookies that they end up drafting. This does feel like, though, that they're putting some dry powder out there for some sort of move, whether it's going and finding more free agents or there's some extensions. I know that they're either extensions or restructures again. You know,
yeah, Danielle Hunter might get Danielle Hunter would be a really interesting one because it's not going to be just a, I don't think it would just be a simple restructure. Because Danielle Hunter's probably looking at that Myles Garrett contract and thinking, all right, I'm 1 year older than Myles Garrett, and it's not out of the question for me to get a pretty damn... So I don't know if the Texans would be interested in restructuring his deal in such a way where you might be able to save some money on this year's cap, but also lock him up for an extra couple years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. It'd be a bold move for a guy that's in his 30s, mm-hmm. From the Texans standpoint.
Yep. For sure.
And especially knowing that Will Anderson's going to likely get an extension going into next season.
Yeah, yeah, and break the bank doing so. Derek Stingley, I think Jalen Petrie's a guy they probably want to extend. So there are a lot of moving parts with the Texans. That was the one that got reported this weekend, the DeNico Autry restructure.
I think one comment that I had seen from a guy that follows both of us, he said, nice, I hated the convo around wanting to trade or cut him simply for cap savings, as if he wasn't worth playing or something. I feel like that's a that's an unfair extreme opinion about why they might cut or, you know, do something with DeNico Autry.
They cut him to one because they don't like him, that's for sure.
Right, they love him. Yeah. It's just that he's also he's 35 years old. He was suspended and or injured for much of last season.
Yep.
And sometimes you got to make tough decisions when you're trying to structure a team.
Yep.
People get cut all the time that still have tread on their tires or get traded away, obviously, that can still play. It's just you've got a cap to manage.
The Texans have picked up a few of them this offseason. You know, it's the cycle of a player in the NFL, for sure. Okay, Cam Smith hit a bomb yesterday, Seth. Off of a major league pitcher. And I don't care what the final score of the game was, I'll go find out, but that was the big thing yesterday. Cam Smith, and he drove in another run with a base hit. He's going to make this team, I think.
I don't think he is.
You don't?
I think that... For one, too, I feel bad for DeZenzo because DeZenzo's having a really nice spring training.
He's not as sexy as Cam Smith.
He's got over 1,000. Look, I think that Chandler Rome had a nice long article about this morning, and he pointed out a couple things that made sense to maybe pour a little bit of water on all of it.
Bah.
And one is that Cam Smith has still seen barely any Double A action,
yeah.
Actual Double A action. The pitching that he's seen in spring training is just a little bit below the average caliber pitching that you would see in Double A.
Mm-hmm.
So he still hasn't had a whole lot of time in that moving to right field, because if he's going to play on this team, he's going to be playing right field.
Yeah.
I think that, yes, they're going to have a shorter leash this year on Chaz, but I think that thrusting Cam Smith into the majors while also learning how to play right field, and he's never done it before, it's a bigger deal than we who go out and get drunk and play co-ed softball, I think, like to think it is when you're trying to do it at the major league level.
Yeah.
I'm still skeptical that he'll be there on day one. Now, I think that there's a much better chance that maybe he gets called up before the service time deadline that was one of the bigger barriers. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens sometimes early in the season, especially if Chaz is struggling, but I think they're still going to want to season him a little bit more in Double A.
If they do that, I hope it's Triple A so I can go watch him, you know, like so I can just drive to
Sugar
Land.
They'd probably make it Double A because the pitching's tougher in Double A,
yeah.
So they'd probably have it. They'd probably want to see Double A pitching.
Yep.
And then DeZenzo can – they also want DeZenzo and Cam Smith to get everyday action, so it probably makes the most sense that DeZenzo would be in AAA and Cam Smith would be in AA.
I
want to
go see DeZenzo. I want to go see Cam Smith.
I know you want. Do you want to see Cam Smith, or do you want him to develop it in the best possible way?
Both. Yeah. I want both, but I get what you're saying. Lance McCullers is going to pitch in a game tomorrow, a spring training game. This is happening, man. I know I just said 45 seconds ago that Cam Smith is going to make the big leagues, and Seth dumped cold water all over that. Will you dump cold water on the Lance McCullers comeback right now, Seth?
No, yeah. I will not.
Okay, good.
I think he's going to come back. I think he's going to pitch well, and then everybody's going to hold their breath for as long as possible to see how long he can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he makes it the entire season.
Yep.
I expect him, as he typically does when he's in the majors and he's not pitching with a partially torn UCL or something like that.
Yeah.
He pitches well.
Yeah.
So I expect that he's going to pitch well. And I think people will allow themselves to get somewhat excited,
yeah.
But they're going to be constantly nervous that you're walking
Put your guard
glass.
Down, people. Let him in. Let Lance in. Yes, put your guard down. It's good.
Luis Garcia was doing a good amount of work, too.
That's good, man.
This weekend, yeah.
The more the merrier. The more the merrier. Framber's going to be starting on opening day for the fourth straight year. That's, you know, when you consider all the pitchers that have been on this baseball team through this run of dominance here, you know, Framber being the guy to start on opening day 4 years in a row in this era of Astros. Granted, it's at the end of the arc here, but I mean, we're talking 22 through 25. He's been the opening day pitcher for straight
years.
These
are the only guys who have done it in Astros history. Roy Oswalt, ever heard of him?
Yeah,
J.R. Richard,
Yep.
Mike Scott and Shane Reynolds, all of them righties.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Shane Reynolds one is Shane was good. Those other
I didn't put him first.
Yeah. No, it looks like they're in chronological. Well, no, Roy's first there. Yeah, like you're right. No, this is a significant thing for sure. I just Oswalt, J.R. Richard, Mike Scott at their peaks were beasts. like Cy right. Young winners or Cy Young contenders, and I'm like, Shane Reynolds, the ultimate innings eater. You know, like a
well, that was also, you know, with C.J. Stroud with some of his rookie records and everything. Remember, there would always be something like, nobody's done this since Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, yeah. Drew Brees,
and Gardner Minshew,
and Carson Wentz yeah. or something. Yeah. yeah, or Gardner Minshew. Yeah, yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah.
There was always, it would be these Hall of Famers plus Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew, man. That people forget that rookie year. He was magical. Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Gardner Minshew is always a good conversation killer, or just if somebody's trying to talk about hyping up a rookie like he's a future Hall of Famer or everything, you can probably find a Gardner Minshew stat that matches it.
Yes. Rockets over the weekend, they beat the Mavericks like a drum on Friday by 37, 133-96. And then on Saturday, in a back-to-back, much closer game, but a fun game to watch, they end up beating the Chicago Bulls 117-114 in a game that was very back and forth throughout. We got this update from Vanessa Richardson on the broadcast on, oh, it was over the weekend. I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday, but this was the update on the latest with Amen Thompson.
I spoke to Ime Udoka just a few minutes before the game about Amen Thompson. Good news. He says Amen was able to do some spot shooting with lead assistant coach Ben Sullivan after shoot around today. Ime also said Amen has been running on the Ultra G treadmill, which is the non-weight-bearing treadmill. Ime told me Amen is getting around-the-clock treatment. Said pregame and postgame, he's getting ice, he's getting stim, anything and everything to push the swelling out. Said he's going home with compression sleeves that also push the swelling out, and it's working. I mean, currently has no limp, and a lot of the swelling is gone. Good news, guys.
All right, so there you go.
She said compression sleeves, but I heard depression sleeves, which sounds like something that sounds nice for when I'm feeling blue. Like maybe like one of those heavy blankets or
something.
Just a sleeve that just holds me tight and tells me everything's going to be all right.
Yes, yes. Or what do they call it? Like a therapy dog that you have with you?
Yeah, like an emotional support dog inside my depression sleeve
yes,
with me.
Yes, yes.
Mm.
That's good news on Amen Thompson. What was that non-weight-bearing treadmill she was talking about?
The Alter G.
I want to try
one of those. Kinda, it keeps you, you don't, it ends up like you're running on the moon.
Okay.
So you're moving
your legs, you're just not hitting ground.
There's not as much force on them. Yeah, it suspends you up above it a little bit.
That's why I like the elliptical as opposed to a treadmill, because you know there's not as much banging going on, you know?
Yeah. That's the whole concept there. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yep. That's why I like it. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. That's the latest on pretty much everything going on around Houston. All right, up next. This is an early candidate for Take-A-Mania on Friday. This take from somebody whose audio we've played in the last few days got Texan fans pretty upset over a rookie from last season. Do we agree with this take on one of the Texans' more prominent young players? We will have that for you coming up next.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, Let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.